Okay, let's unpack this. Today we're embarking on really a deep dive into one of humanity's most profound narratives of suffering.
Absolutely, and faith too.
And an even more, well, astonishing declaration of faith. We're talking about the ancient text of the Book of Job, specifically chapter 19.
A pivotal chapter.
Our mission: to unearth powerful insights from this ancient story and, see how its timeless wisdom born out of immense pain, how it can offer us a real shortcut
A shortcut to understanding what exactly?
to understanding resilience, unwavering faith, and, well, enduring hope, especially when everything around us feels completely lost.
Right, when things fall apart.
Exactly. We're not just exploring what Job went through, but how his steadfast belief, his obedience almost, can truly encourage our own and strengthen our faith in God today. Let's dig in.
Sounds good.
So, just to set the scene, imagine someone enduring unimaginable physical and emotional torment.
It's hard to even grasp the scale of it.
Right. Not only has Job experienced this catastrophic loss of everything, family, wealth, health, his standing in the community,
Gone.
but then, to add insult to injury, his closest friends, the very ones who should be offering comfort,
They turn on him.
they're verbally assaulting him. He says their words are vexing his soul, literally tearing him apart emotionally, breaking him in pieces.
It's brutal, not just discomfort, it's a full-on spiritual and emotional attack. And Job 19 really lays bare his complete devastation. He talks about how his friends have relentlessly reproached him.
Meaning they blamed him, shamed
Yeah,
him.
exactly. Blamed and shamed him, making themselves strange to him with their cruelty, their misjudgment.
Wow.
And what's even more heartbreaking, I think, is his perception that he's utterly attacked by God himself.
He feels God is against him.
Directly, he says, God hath overthrown me and hath compassed me with his net. It's this image of being completely trapped, snared like prey,
Trapped and unheard.
utterly unheard. He cries out about being wronged, but feels there's no judgment, no justice for his pleas.
So his whole world is just dismantled.
Completely. He describes God as having fenced up my way that I cannot pass, setting darkness in my paths, just
Darkness.
stripping him of his glory, taking the crown from my head. His hope, he says, has been removed like a tree,
Blacked out by the roots.
just gone. He even feels like God counts him as one of his enemies, with divine troops encamping around him.
So it's not just the physical agony or the friend's accusations. It's this deep, profound sense of isolation, abandonment
Yes, and it goes even deeper. This feeling of being completely cut off.
from everyone.
Pretty much. His anguish extends to feeling totally abandoned by his community, even his own household. His brethren, his family are far from him. His acquaintance estranged.
Unbelievable.
Kinsfolk, familiar friends, they've forgotten him. Those living in his house, even his servants, his maids, they count him as a stranger, an alien.
Even his wife.
His breath is strange to his own wife, he says. Young children despise him. Even his inward friends, the ones he trusted most.
They turn against him too.
They abhor him. They whom I loved are turned against me. It's just an all-encompassing loneliness.
And the physical suffering on top of all that.
Oh, it's visceral. He describes himself as basically a living skeleton. His bone cleaveth to my skin and to my flesh.
And that famous line.
Having escaped with the skin of his teeth, yes. It's such a vivid picture of a man utterly devastated, physically, emotionally.
And he pleads for pity.
He pleads with his friends, have pity upon me, have pity upon me, O ye my friends, for the hand of God hath touched me.
It's almost unbearable to imagine just rock bottom, absolute rock bottom of human experience.
You'd expect him to just give up, to curse everything.
Exactly. But then, from this absolute abyss, Job says something so profound, so defiant, it echoes through history.
He demands it be recorded.
He demands it. Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book, that they were graven with an iron pen and let in the rock forever.
Such urgency, such
And
intensity.
why? Why such urgency for permanence? Because of what he's about to declare, right?
Precisely. This is the pivot, the profound turning point. In verses 25 through 27, Job proclaims,
Go on.
For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth.
I know. Powerful words.
And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God,
Wow. Even after death.
whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another.
He will see God himself, personally.
The striking nature of this belief, I mean, delivered in the midst of just unimaginable suffering, it cannot be overstated.
What does Redeemer mean here exactly? Is it just rescuer?
It's more than just rescue. A redeemer here, a goel in Hebrew, is someone who defends your cause, clears your name, maybe even buys back your property or life.
A vindicator.
A vindicator, okay. And that this redeemer shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Well, that signifies a final ultimate judgment or revelation, a future moment of justice and truth.
So let me see if I've got this. Even as his body is failing, his friends are attacking him. He's saying, I know my ultimate defender, my vindicator lives, and I will see God for myself, and I will be proven right.
That's the core of it, yes. It's this unshakable hope for vindication, for his innocence to be publicly declared, and a direct personal encounter with God, justice, maybe even resurrection.
It's not just wishing, it's knowing.
Exactly. It's a statement of absolute certainty, a profound knowing in the face of complete uncertainty. Many scholars call this one of the most hopeful declarations in the entire Bible.
Because it affirms what?
It affirms that redemption, justice, and the very presence of God are not just possibilities, but certainties. It's this incredible anchor in the sphenom of his personal catastrophe.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting for us, I think, because this isn't just some ancient story locked away, right?
Not at all. It's living wisdom.
We've gone through Job's agony, his despair, to this incredible declaration. But how do we bridge that gap, that ancient chasm, to our lives today?
Yeah, what's the takeaway?
What timeless truths does this narrative offer that are relevant when we face our own trials? What can we draw from Job's experience right now?
Well, what's fascinating is how Job's experience distills into these powerful, enduring truths for us. First, Job really hammers home that pain isolates.
Yeah, you really feel that in his words.
His story just shows how suffering, especially when it's misunderstood, can deeply cut us off from others. Friends, family, our whole sense of belonging.
It's a hard truth.
It's a painful but critical reminder of how profoundly hardship can reshape our connections, leaving us feeling utterly alone.
Okay, so pain isolates. What's next?
Second, Job teaches us very clearly that people can misjudge your story.
His friends certainly did.
Oh, absolutely. They should have been his closest confidants, right? But they judged him based on appearances, on false assumptions about why he was suffering.
They thought he must have sinned terribly.
Exactly, which powerfully illustrates that even those closest to us can be very, very wrong about what we're truly going through or why. It's like, you know, hearing gossip and jumping to conclusions. Job's friends were kind of stuck there.
That second point about people misjudging, that really makes the next one even more powerful, doesn't it? If people get it wrong, where does Job anchor himself?
Absolutely. And that leads directly to the third truth, which is so crucial. Faith doesn't always remove pain, but it can outlast it.
That's key. It doesn't make the pain disappear.
No. Job's declaration of faith doesn't magically erase his suffering. He's still in agony. But it grounds him. It gives him this unshakable long-term hope.
So faith and pain can coexist.
They can. And this shows that true, authentic faith can provide the anchor that allows you to outlast the pain. It's not about escaping the storm, but having that deep-seated conviction to ride it out.
Okay. And the last one.
And finally, a truly profound insight. God sees what others miss.
Even when everyone else gets it wrong.
Exactly. Even when everyone else misinterprets your circumstances or assigns blame, God understands the full, intricate picture. Job found his confidence not in human opinions, not in his friends' judgments.
But in God's view.
But in God's eventual justice and vindication. It reminds us that our true worth, our true understanding, it comes from a higher source.
Right. So we've navigated Job's incredible journey. We've uncovered this timeless wisdom about pain, judgment, faith.
Mm-hmm.
But how do we make that practical? How do we bridge that ancient wisdom to our lives, our struggles today?
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean for strengthening our faith, encouraging our obedience to God?
That's the vital connection. And I think Job's story offers several really powerful applications for how we live and deepen our faith. First, it teaches us about support without judgment.
How so?
Well, think about Job's friends. They got it so wrong. So when our friends or loved ones are in crisis, this story encourages us to offer presence, not assumptions.
Just be there.
Just be there. The lesson is clear. Avoid trying to fix them. Definitely avoid blaming them. Instead, listen. Love. Simply stay with them through their pain.
That sounds like obedience in a way.
It really does. It reflects an obedient response to those who are suffering, maybe mirroring a compassionate God who doesn't abandon us in our darkest moments.
Okay, support without judgment. What else?
Secondly, Job's raw but very real faith encourages us to cling to hope in the dark.
Even when nothing makes sense.
Especially when nothing makes sense. Like him, we can declare, I know my Redeemer lives, even when our immediate circumstances are confusing and we have zero short-term answers.
Holding on to the long view.
Exactly. This chapter profoundly encourages us to hold on to long-term hope, God's ultimate plan over those fleeting, often unsatisfying short-term fixes.
And that strengthens faith.
Directly. That act of trusting in the unseen, the ultimate victory, directly strengthens our faith in God's sovereignty, even when everything feels chaotic.
That's a powerful point, because it shifts the focus from, like, my immediate comfort to my ultimate destiny, which raises questions about identity, doesn't it? Especially when things get tough.
Precisely. And that brings us to the next application. Don't let pain define your identity.
Because Job lost everything.
Literally everything. Family, wealth, health, social standing, gone. But he never lost his core belief in God's justice and his place before God.
He held on to that.
He did. So in our own worst moments, remembering who we are, and maybe more importantly, who God is, that can truly carry us through.
So my identity isn't my circumstance.
Exactly. It reinforces our identity in God, bolstering our faith and reliance on him, even when everything else is stripped away. Your circumstances don't define your worth or your connection to the divine.
Okay, that's huge. Is there one more?
Yes, and it's vital for how we interact with each other. Let people tell their own story.
What do you mean by that?
Well, Job insisted on narrating his innocence and his intense pain. He refused to let his friends write his conclusion for him, to explain away his suffering.
Don't try to finish their sentence for them, basically.
Or write their whole chapter. This teaches us to allow others to narrate their own experiences without us trying to dictate the ending or minimize what they're feeling.
That fosters empathy.
Deep empathy and understanding, which are fundamental aspects of loving obedience and truly seeing others as God sees them. Job's declaration ultimately is this powerful testament to the certainty of redemption, justice, and God's presence. It provides a really solid foundation for our own faith, no matter what we face.
So Job's journey from the depths of unimaginable despair to that unshakable declaration of faith, it offers incredibly powerful lessons for anyone facing hardship.
It really does.
It shows us that even in the most isolating, the most painful moments, a profound hope and an enduring belief in a greater truth can sustain us.
Absolutely.
It's a testament, really, that even when we are brought right to the brink, faith can provide an anchor.
And a future.
Mm-hmm. Future hope. And it reminds us that our obedience, our steadfastness, it's not really about avoiding pain, is it?
Yeah.
It's about enduring it with an unwavering gaze toward God's ultimate justice and redemption.
Beautifully put. And this raises, I think, an important question for you, the listener, to consider.
Okay.
In moments when your world feels, as Job put it, stripped of its glory, or maybe when even friends misjudge your pain, what deep truth do you cling to that keeps your hope alive and strengthens your faith?